Norris and Davis. 105.7 The Fan.
Watching the game last night. And what inning was it? Was it the... It was Machado's first at bat. I don't remember whether it was the second or the third inning. Top of the second or third. And Dempster throws this pitch that's the most awful pitch in the world. And Manny ponders checking his swing. And Bakken Bob Davidson behind home plate calls a strike. Did you see the pitch by chance?
I did not.
So Palmer goes nuts, and I look at, and then they show the replay. And it's just the worst. There have been, it's a strike call, so there's going to be bad strike calls. But it's just such a terrible call. He didn't even come remotely close. And I'm not a homer at all. And everybody always whines whether or not a guy checks his swing. He didn't come close to checking his swing. He just kind of brought the bat down. It wasn't even close. Listen to Palmer crushing the umpire.
So he didn't even come close. What is he looking at? I mean, this is what Bob Davidson, and if you don't know, oh, I mean, that, well, it's just a horrible call. He's not a very good umpire, and he never has been. So, I mean, that's well established. So it's not anybody doesn't know.
So there you go. Palmer teeing him up pretty good. Good for him. It was, as we've seen lately, the umpiring has just been going back to Friday night and what happened with Reynolds in that game. Just a lot of bad calls. Bringing Kevin Cowart from the Baltimore Sun, joining us here on the Norris and Davis Show. Ken Wyman is in for Ed. And Kevin Schmuck wrote about this in the paper. But we saw what happened in the Ravens game last week. We saw the Orioles game last week. I don't know what to do about the state of officiating. But, and I don't know if you saw that pitch last night. But, ugh.
You know, how about Jim Palmer holding it back again from that commentary, guys?
It's great. Well, you know what? Here's the point. Is he makes a reasonable point, which is, and I've said this for a long time, why do umpires enjoy tenure like college professors? If you're not a very good umpire, why do you get to keep your job?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, that's the issue. And you know what's been happening here in the last couple of days? We've had some very notable blown calls by referees. Certainly Friday night against in the Ravens game and then the last couple of days with the Orioles. But you know what, guys? I mean, what are you going to do about this? I mean, does everybody want instant replay on everything? I mean, how are we going to do this? Is taking the human element out of umpiring and refereeing, is that the way to go? Is instant replay and adding more and more time to these games that are already interminable, is that the way to go? No, I think you got to get better umpires. I don't think there's any question about that. And, Steve, I agree with you when you talk about tenure for these guys. But you know what? I mean, we keep scrutinizing these guys. We keep railing about, you know, the mistakes they're making. All right, go out and get better umpires. But I'm not sure bringing more and more technology into these games is the way to go.
I would not at all go for having it evolved at all in balls and strikes.
No.
I am an advocate of replay at plays at bases because I think that's one thing that they're not going to add. They're going to add more fair and foul and trap balls, but that's about it. But plays at bases, it wouldn't make the games longer. If they had replay the other night, Friday night for the Reynolds play, and I don't know that they would have found it conclusive enough or not, but it would have avoided an argument because they just would have gone right to replay.
Yeah, but the replay would not be instantaneous. You know, they promised us this, Steve, when the NFL first went to instant replay. Oh, we're going to make this quick. We're going to get this under 2 minutes. It hasn't happened. In no instance that where instant replay is used have games gotten quicker. You know,
that's because they put the guys under the hood. That's preposterous. It should be up at a booth upstairs, and no one should have to walk over to a hood.
Well, unless you can do it instantaneously to me. I mean, look, so now what you have is in football, a bunch of guys standing around waiting, you know, people in the stands standing around waiting for these kinds of decisions. I think it ruins the flow of the game. You know, the object is to get the call right.
Exactly.
We know that. But not when it tampers with the essential nature of the game. Not when it stops the flow of a game. And that's what's happened. I mean, look, and I sound like Cro-Magnon, but I would get rid of instant replay altogether. I know no one agrees with me on this, so we can forget that. But that's my position on it. We are tampering with the essential nature and flow and rhythm of all these games.
Kevin, the one good thing to come out of that bad call on Friday night was Mark Reynolds after the game. And I think in this day and age where players don't say anything, it was kind of refreshing to hear a guy be so honest after a game.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was frustration too, though, Ken. He knows that nothing can be done about this. he was probably thinking, hey, I'm looking at a fine here. Nothing's come down yet. But, you know, you slam your glove to the ground, you're showing up the ump, you know. So I'm sure that was lurking in the back of his mind, too. But, yeah, you know, he's a candid guy. I mean, there are guys that will come out. A guy like an Adam Jones would come out and say something like that, too. So, yeah, I guess it was refreshing. I mean, I just think that we all focus too much on these calls. You know, this is it's the nature. It's human fallibility. You know, they're going to get most of the calls right, I hope and I assume. And they're going to blow some of the calls. It's just the way the game goes.
Now, wait a minute. I'm calling BS on this. Refreshing to hear his candor. He was wrong. He was wrong at a number of levels. I like the fact that he vented. No, hold on. He was wrong that they're sitting back there, the umpire's sitting back there laughing. They're not laughing.
Well, that was frustration. But that's frustration.
They're not laughing. No, they don't want to screw the calls up. They're embarrassed.
But he's right that they have no. There's no accountability there. He's absolutely right. And that guy has no business making that call at home plate. Has no business overturning that call.
Okay, you're right about that. But he was wrong about some stuff. He says he never sees calls overturned when they huddle. That's not true either.
It's very rare.
It happens rarely, Steve. But the thing with Reynolds there, I mean, you know, that was pure frustration when he said that. And I'm sure he realized 5 minutes after he said it, that was a stupid thing to say. Umpires are not back there laughing. They're not back there trying to screw the Orioles. That's just not happening. But I think he realized it right away. And to his credit, the next day he took the remarks back.
Kevin Coward from the Baltimore Sun joins us. I want to get your take a little bit on preseason football. Michael Vick got hurt yesterday. They say he's going to be okay, bruised ribs. He's now gotten knocked out of a couple of preseason games. Tom Brady didn't play at all. I say, as I see this and see that the Ravens starters have barely played, they played a quarter of the game so far. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, when they sit out and don't play at all in the fourth preseason game, they will have played basically 25% or so of the preseason. We've gotten to the point where preseason just isn't necessary anymore. No one wants to put their guys out there and run the risk of getting them hurt. That's my take, is colleges don't have a preseason. I know that the finances of it dictate that we'll continue to have a preseason. We'll never have less than 20 games. But no one's ever going to convince me now that they need the preseason to get ready for the regular season because no one's playing.
Hey, listen, you're preaching to the choir here. I totally agree. Preseason is the biggest ripoff for fans, number one, in sports, okay? The idea that you pay full price to watch these ridiculous exhibition games is just an outrageous. It's an outrage against the fans. But I totally agree with you. Players don't need that much time to get ready. Excuse me. Everybody's worried about getting hurt. Coaches are terrified their quarterbacks and running backs are going to go down. There's no reason for it. The players all know there's no reason for it. They parrot the company line. Oh, yeah, you know, this helps us get ready. But there's no question. You certainly don't need four preseason games, okay? If you want to knock it down to two, you want to get a look at some of the younger players, you want to get the timing down, I understand that. But four preseason games is ridiculous. Totally agree.
Kevin, first full training camp with not being in Westminster. They've had the public practices. Your verdict on how that's gone?
Well, I think it's gone pretty well. You know, Westminster was a special place for Ravens fans. There's no question about it. And what the Ravens have done with these open practices does not duplicate Westminster, Ken. I mean, there's no question about that. But having said that, I think all three of these were huge hits. I know Steve was out there. We talked Sunday at Stevenson, and it was a lot of fun. It was an up crowd. I think all of these, all of these open practices have given the fans a chance to look at the team and bond with the players, and the players love it. I mean, you talk to John Harbaugh on down. Coaches and players just love these open practices. So I think they hit a home run with these three. Again, it's not Westminster. It's not as intimate. It's not on a daily basis. But I think they did pretty well having these three open practices at big venues.
Yeah, Kevin wrote about it at thebaltimoresun.com, their website. You can read all of his columns there. I saw Kevin out there. I thought they, as I said yesterday, they did a very nice job at Stevenson. They put on a nice show. They showed off their stadium. The Ravens, as always, touched gold with this and how they had their players interacting. One more thing for you. The big story yesterday, women at Augusta. Two members added.
Yeah, inevitable, right? I mean, come on. You know, look, it's 2012. You know, you knew this was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. And naturally, in their, you know, in their all-encompassing secrecy, Augusta doesn't come out, you know, does all this behind the scenes, and then one day comes out with an announcement, hey, we're going to have women. And by the way, how about the two high-profile women that are going in there? I mean, come on. You know, Condi Rice is, you know, this should have been done years ago, guys. And, you know, I think it's almost embarrassing when they, you know, I'm glad they did it. I think everybody's glad they did it, but it's almost embarrassing that it took this. It's not almost embarrassing. It is embarrassing that it took this long for women to finally get into Augusta.
Although I do find interesting, Kevin, that people want to make this landmark thing that a bunch of rich guys down in Augusta, Georgia, admitted a couple of women that will still be a huge minority, and they want to equate this to this is not a landmark moment. It was symbolic. It was important. It was necessary and all that stuff. This is not Jackie Robinson. This none of that stuff. It's just they finally realized, you know what, we can't continue to take the grief. Because I don't think they did it because the members there said, you know what, we really need to have women here. We want women here. That's not why they did it. They did it because they were tired of taking crap.
Absolutely. This gets the issue off the front burner. Well, I guess it's been on the back burner mainly for the last 9 or 10 years. But there's no question about it, Steve. They did this. They eventually bowed to pressure, public pressure from the media, and most importantly, in my opinion, corporate pressure. All right, all these big companies that have women who are CEOs, they're the ones that Augusta really paid attention to.
Kevin, thank you. You can read all of Kevin's columns at BaltimoreSun.com and, of course, in the printed edition. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Talk to you next week.